Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. This is a program meant to stimulate conversation, thought, and positive action. Today, you're going to learn about a nutrient that can make an enormous difference in the aging process, all based upon good science. You may have heard of it, you may not have heard of it. It's called NAD. I'll go into it in greater depth. Also, deadly carbohydrates, the lethal sugar-cancer connection. A look at what we have known for some time, but now it's just more and more information that's fully documented. Stephanie Martinson has contributed to that. We're also going to look at the mushrooms and onions containing immune-enhancing polysaccharides and phytonutrients, and how learning a musical instrument boosts your kid's brain power. More information on sugar that's bad. And then from the environmental segment today, a deep concern over the invisible threat to Antarctic glaciers. This is from Climate News Network, Tim Redford. It's about the Antarctic ice sheet, but what's under it? It's a silent, invisible agency. It's warming water, and it's causing these deep circumpolar currents to melt the ice from underneath. How much ice are we talking about? Well, we're talking about 70% of all the fresh water in the world. That's how much. Let me give you an idea. If that were to melt rapidly, you're looking at an easy 50-foot rise in the ocean. That would mean you would completely say goodbye to New York and every city around the United States that's on the coast. Could it happen? It's going to happen. It's just when. Some of it in our lifetimes, some of it not. I'll give you the latest on that. Good news for all of you who've been active in helping to close down nuclear power plants. From the latest efforts and Harvey Wasserman, we can say thank you to the people of Vermont because now they have permanently shut down the Vermont Yankee nuke plant and four more in just 3 years. So that's making major progress. Also, today is commentary day. No guest today. We're going to look at some very important issues, including the prison state of America, Chris Hedges, Truth Out, the $2.6 billion welfare payment the United States government is giving to Walmart, from Michael Snyder. We're going to look at the government says this year's flu shot is worthless, but it still will not allow any discussion of natural alternatives. We'll give you that. Also today, we're going to look at a series of short commentaries on topics I believe should be discussed. One is from Michael Price. It's from the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. Quote, I'm terrified of my new TV. Why, I'm scared to turn this thing on, and you'd be too. Wait till you hear what they put into every new TV. A Harvard group, a group of students there, took the 1964 Louisiana literacy test that black voters had to pass before being allowed to go to the polls. How'd they do? So let's see. In a highly racist society, a highly elitist society, a highly bigoted society that thinks that because you go to Harvard or one of the Ivy League schools, you're smarter. Not true. You get a better education. Absolutely not true. Let's see how these Harvard whiz kids did compared to not-so-educated blacks in the South in 1964. A mercenary class, now permanent fixture of the national security state, from Andrea Germanos of Common Dreams. And U.S. corporations top the list of those giving the least when it comes to taxes. They're living in, quote, a magical fairyland of tax dodging. And from John Quealy, we'll talk about that and why I believe we should have one flat corporate tax that nobody can get out of at all and eliminate entirely. The Federal Reserve, the IRS, one flat tax. I've done the math on it. I've given that math to economists. We'd bring in between $3 to $5 trillion extra dollars a year and save us from all the government expenditures on running these worthless bureaucracies. As you see, we have a lot to share today. Let's begin. First and foremost, most people in this audience care about aging and the diseases of aging. Last evening at our brain health support group, we had just completed one for diabetes, high blood pressure, allergy, and overweight. Phenomenal results. So phenomenal, I'm submitting it for peer review publication and a presentation before a group of scientists later this spring. I'll post the results done by independent outside medical biostatisticians that took the blood chemistry and all the before and afters and analyze them and do the charts. But this current group is also having phenomenal results. For example, last night. Now, mind you, to get into this group, you had to have a brain medically diagnosed condition for a period of time, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, whatever. So I asked, how many people here have found a difference in their cognition? Hands went up. Improvement in memory. This is after only 8 of 12 weeks. Hands went up. Less depression. Hands went up. Less anxiety. Hands went up. More energy overall. Hands went up. Better night's sleep. Hands went up. Less pain. Hands went up. Less fatigue. Hands went up. That's after 8 weeks. There's still 4 more weeks to go, and then it's finished and formalized, and then I'll share it with everyone. Turning off inflammation is crucial to all this in any group. Having a 100% living foods diet, 70% of it raw in juices, salads, and the rest lightly cooked, but cooked in such a way that it does not in any way denature nutrients, actually liberates nutrients. And then proper exercise, stress management, behavior and attitude, and then right supplements. There's a lot of research being done on supplements, but most of the supplements they're researching, they're trying to find either in an herb or a supplement a way of patenting it so they can charge a whole lot more for what otherwise would be a natural nutrient. The latest research, as shared by Life Extension's outstanding researchers, is, and it's being heavily done right now, is called NAD. Why is NAD good? Because it has a unique ability to protect tissues and induce, and this is what's most important, induce DNA repair and increase our lifespan. Now, all of us, including the healthiest vegans, we all do DNA damage through the normal courses of living every day. It's how well we supplement the healing materials in our body. For example, when you take wheatgrass and ginger juice, let's say a little 2-ounce shot, that's doing a lot to repair damage, especially damage done by heavy metals like lead, cadmium, mercury. When you have been a smoker or you've been around people who smoked and you've suffered from secondhand smoke, taking vitamin C and quercetin and vitamin D helps repair the damage to that. So anything you can take into your body that increases DNA repair is a good thing. And then if it increases lifespan, that's even better. We've known that NAD plays an important role in transferring energy release from glucose and fatty acids to the mitochondria. Remember, the mitochondria, they're your little energy factories. Just imagine every mitochondria is a stove, and the fuel that you put into it is what stokes it and keeps it warm. And it's a process called ATP, or adenosine triphosphate. That's where you have that combustion. So what happens is that when you have NAD, you have a greater conversion into cellular energy. You simply have more energy. But without NAD, which every cell in your body produces, you simply, the energy transfer in the cells breaks down. And then you have fatigue, brain fatigue if it's in the brain, muscle fatigue if you're out working out or you're not using your muscles, So the mitochondria dysfunction is a bad thing. You don't want that. Now, NAD is an essential cofactor of key enzymes responsible for longevity, and these are called citrins. Now, we know of resveratrol, and I'm sure everyone in this audience knows that it comes from grapes and some other fruit, but mainly from grapes. And that's why I've always encouraged you to eat organic grapes and make sure you get the ones that are seeded, because it's the seed and the skin of the grape that has the majority of the healing power. The fleshy part, which is what makes it taste good, is good, but it's not anywhere near the healing potential of the seed and the skin. And that's why when you crush the wine and ferment, you know, crush the grapes and you're fermenting it in the wine, you're benefiting from some of that. But when you eat the grapes, you're getting more. When you're drinking the grape juice, you're getting more. When you're drinking the grape concentrate, you're getting more. And if you get any compounding powders of that, you're getting the most. All because of these enzymes. And this is SIR, sirtuins, T-U-I-N-S. And resveratrol is well known for sirtuin activation, but it does it indirectly, whereas NAD directly activates sirtuins to regulate gene aging. Sirtuins, specifically SIRT1 and SIRT3, are intimately related to longevity through their control of gene expression and require NAD for their activation. And research in the sirtuins continues to get us great information on how you can control aging. You literally can slow it down because, in lay language, how can I put this? By activating these sirtuins, we're able to gain control over our body's anti-aging switches. The SIRT enzymes turn off certain genes that promote aging, such as those involved in inflammation. That's why I keep saying hot dogs, french fries, hamburgers, coffee, alcohol, deep-fried foods, barbecued foods. Those all turn on inflammation and hence turn on the aging gene. And also too much sugar turn on the aging. So SIRT enzymes are activated by calorie restriction, which means that when you restrict your calories, when you're eating more vegetables, which are low in calories, and juices low in calories, that's a proven and reliable extension of lifespan in all organisms. And the way calorie restriction activates anti-aging sirtuins is by increasing cellular NAD. And so what's the consequences? What's the takeaway message here? NAD is found in every single cell in your body. You need it in order for efficient energy transfer from foods to tissues. It's also required for turning off genes that accelerate aging. From a cellular energy standpoint, lower levels of NAD plus reduced mitochondrial function with fewer energy-rich ATP adenosine triphosphate molecules being produced and fewer mitochondria produced. That's a vicious cycle. We want to reverse that. We want more energy. We want more mitochondria working on our behalf, and we want more NAD. When you have NAD, you are lessening neurodegenerative diseases, hence your brain. You're reducing vascular inflammation, because remember, vascular inflammation produces damage to blood vessels that can result in stroke or heart attack. There's an increased fat storage in the liver, which can lead to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and look at high fructose corn syrup as that cause of that. You have an increased fat production and deposition in white adipose tissue, the primary fat storage found on your belly fat. Your greater insulin resistance, meaning preventing cells from appropriately removing glucose in the blood, that produces a higher blood sugar, that's dangerous. And you end up with fatigue, loss of muscle strength, and fatty infiltration into your muscles. So all this is why pay attention to NAD. What is NAD? It's a form of vitamin D3 that that converts in the body to NAD. Now, vitamin B3 is involved in over 400 enzymatic reactions throughout the body. It's essential for production and management of cellular energy and nicotinamide riboside increases NAD levels. So that's the latest on that, and hopefully you'll add that to your armamentarium. Now, another thing that we should pay attention to is mushrooms. Mushrooms are wonderful. By the way, the people doing raw mushroom dishes, raw mushrooms are not biologically available. Once again, the idea, the logic of using everything raw makes sense. The reality is just the opposite. If you eat a tomato, you're getting a little lycopene. If you slowly cook the tomato, you're getting a lot of lycopene. Heat allows, through hydrolysis, the maturation of the polysaccharides, natural chemicals, to come out. Hence, some items need heat to maximize their bioavailability. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, asparagus are all in that family. Mushrooms as well. But when you combine mushrooms and onions together, you're getting immune-enhancing polysaccharides and phytonutrients. Just remember that the reason that you're getting this is because it's a part of the plant's natural protection from environmental stressors. So they have these, they don't want a predator, an insect or a bird or something eating them, so they have various chemicals they produce that prevent that or lessen it. But with a human being able to take advantage of these, we really benefit from mushrooms and onions. You can make mushroom onion soup. You can put it into a miso soup. We're also getting the fermentation of the miso. This enhances the polysaccharide and immune component of the body. Now, which ones? Maitake, M-A-I-T-A-K-E. Maitake, by the way, means dancing mushroom in Japanese. And it's very beneficial in an immune-modulating molecule called beta-1,6-D-glucan. I recommend it for people who are suffering from AIDS-defining illnesses, cancers, cachexia in particular, because it's really important in these conditions. Also, we have a mushroom commonly referred to as the ABM mushroom. It's grown in the rainforest. It's nicknamed the mushroom of God, and that's what it's called. And it has the greatest density of beta-glucan in the world. And in fact, when humans were given the mushroom, the ABM mushroom, they saw 3,000% increase in natural killer cells within 2 to 4 days. Now, natural killer cells are what help you if you have cancer, if you have AIDS. So definitely any form of cancer, you definitely want this mushroom. And the A stands for agaricus, A-G-A-R-I-C-U-S. The B stands for blazi, B-L-A-Z-I. And the M stands for muriel, M-U-R-I-L-L. But just short for A-B-M. Then you have the reishi mushroom, R-E-I-S-H-I. It also is very rich in the beta-1,3-D-glucan, which boosts macrophages, T cells, cytokinetic activity. It's especially good to inhibit tumors. It has cytokine IL-1 and IL-2. It's an analgesic, it's anti-inflammatory, it's antimicrobial. So if someone was suffering from parasites, candida, yeast overgrowth, I would definitely recommend reishi mushroom. We also have one of the most powerful onions is the red onion. The red onion is important because it's rich in sulfur. What you taste that gives you that kind of sharp bitterness, that's sulfur. And the sulfur creates in the body what is called cysteine. And that aids in detoxification. So if you want the sulfur to help your liver and your kidneys to detoxify, that's a good one. It also inhibits blood cell clumping, which helps prevent stroke. Remember, I've said a long time ago, an onion a day keeps a stroke away. And if you had the onion in part, let's say you had some onion in a salad in the afternoon, and you had an onion in the evening, part of that, then you're keeping your blood thinner. There, it's also, the onion is one of the richest sources, especially red onion, of quercetin and the polyphenol antioxidant anthocyanin. Antho, A-N-T-H-O, cy, C-Y, anin, A-N-I-N, anthocyanin. And those are extremely good for grabbing onto free radicals and lessening inflammation in the body. So if I had arthritis, bursitis, fibromyalgia, lower back pain, take some red onion. Consume that during the day. And simmering onions in low heat to make a nice broth that releases the nutrients, especially the quercetin, makes it more bioavailable. So that's one way of having it. Learning a musical instrument boosts kids' brains. This is from the National Institute of Health, and they're saying that if you want your kid to be, let's say, more focused, having better cognition, having mental discipline, the musical training serves that. It really hones their mental energies. A study published in the Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry found that learning a musical instrument can help children to reduce feelings of anxiety, gain a greater control of emotions, and give a stronger focus to their attention. Quote, the largest investigation associated between playing a musical instrument and brain development, and it works. So if your child can learn, that would be great. And the latest on sugar and why it's bad for you. From the Natural Blaze, refined sugar is close to zero in nutritional value. I'll just quote a little bit of this here. Because of the industrial processes involved in manufacturing sugar, there's no nutritional value. The vitamins and enzymes have been denatured and thus fail to contribute to the body's metabolic requirements. For those who frequently eat significant amounts of refined sugar products, this can lead to many problems, including type 2 diabetes, hyperactivity, mood swings, depression, and it also feeds microorganisms like bacteria, and it causes infection, overload in lymph nodes, and it speeds up what is called advanced glycation end products or AGEs. The brown yellow compound that I've talked about many times when you're cooking something, that speeds up premature aging. So one more reason not to use them. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. And I want to share something that I'd like to have a response from the audience on. And it's from Mark St. Sri. It's called Land of Opportunity to a Fool's Paradise. I would say, why are we so determined to be misinformed? Because I'm sure that you, as well as most people, are amazed to see just how many adults and teenagers seem absolutely oblivious to their surroundings or the consequences of the choices they make. Seemingly intelligent people walking with their heads down, flailing away on a keyboard built by, more often than not, slave labor in some country. And what are they doing? They're asking what's happening in the world. This is their social networking platform, and they're completely immersed in it. They tweet, they post, they paste, they share, they spread. But ask them a question about a relevant subject, like the ones I'm going to talk about today. For example, Steven Anderson, an ex-New York City cop, was forced in a courtroom to admit that he and a lot of others have planted evidence, framed innocent people to reach quotas. All right, well, what about the new banking law that was just passed that means that high-risk investments and derivatives, which are in the trillions of dollars, if it goes bad, we, the public, are on the hook for it. And also how all of our investments, our deposits in banks are no longer considered our savings. Based upon the new laws, those that had just been put into motion and will be ratified in the next, let's say the next month or so, your savings, your checking, your anything in a bank, any money in the bank, if that bank chooses to, because of some crisis it's in, it immediately converts all that to a form of ownership in the bank, and you can lose it all, just like in Cyprus. They wouldn't know any of this. Very few people know any of this stuff. Why? Why? Global affairs? They just don't know. And you know that look? It's the same look you get when one of these individuals walks right into you in some store or mall or a subway, and they don't say, excuse me, or I'm sorry. They just kind of give you that that look that says, weren't you watching where I was going? Sorry to say, that's what you hear more and more people saying. They have extreme dexterity when it comes to texting. Informing themselves on important issues, not so much. Social media, along with near instantaneous news feeds, have given the illusion to a great many that they are informed. In my opinion, nothing could be further from the truth. In many ways, it's becoming not only dangerous, but it could turn catastrophic for these same informed individuals. Most truly informed people today know that what is being reported in most of the media, including the liberal media, and how it is reported, and how it is manufactured, and how it is slanted, is extremely manipulated, and hence one cannot rely upon it. Why? How did we get here? What is the source of this? What is the solution to it? That is my question. Let me just give you one example. Ask the average person in the media, any reporter for any network, what's the current unemployment rate? They'll say, well, it's around 5.5%. Is that accurate? Yes, it's accurate. And who says it's accurate? Where did you get that? Well, the government statistics. Okay. And what about our gross domestic product? Well, that's good. It grew 4.6% in the second quarter and 5% in the third quarter. Really, that's a tremendous amount of growth. We're right up there with China and Brazil in our growth. Is that accurate? Yeah, it's accurate. Says who? Well, the government. I see. Where did this growth come from? It didn't come from rising consumer incomes. It did not come from rising consumer credit. It did not come from rising real estate sales. It did not come from the housing sector. It did not come from a trade surplus. The growth came from a Bureau of Economic Analysis survey of consumer spending on services, mainly Obamacare. Obamacare drove up the U.S. real gross domestic growth by 5% in the third quarter. But that's not growth. That doesn't help the economy. That all goes to insurance companies who wrote Obamacare and lobbied it and bought left and right legislators in the media. Yep. And unemployment, is that taking into account all the people who stop looking for work because of age or biases or because there's not enough jobs? No, they were excluded. And how many people were excluded? 16 million. Well, how can you say that unemployment's at one rate if you've excluded 16 million people who need a job or willing to work? Well, that's the calculus of manipulation. And to that sampling of our gross domestic product, is that consistent with the falling commodity prices, 47% oil reduction Iron ore prices down 49%, natural gas down 30%, copper down 15%. We have that, and we say we don't want to look at any of this. So here's my question. We live at a time where people are completely clueless about almost everything. And more importantly, what I call intentional neglect. They just don't want to know. Why don't people want to know the truth? What would change if they did? Our talkback line is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And just to add that cancer-causing maraschino cherry on the top of this, think of the prison system. Well, most people don't see the prison system. They don't see the prisoners. They don't see the families. They don't see what a person goes through. They don't see the torture of putting a person in solitary confinement, sometimes for decades. They don't see that our jails today are where most mentally ill people end up without treatment, without services that benefit them or would help them. Prisons employ and exploit the ideal worker. Chris Hedges has brought us this insight with such clarity, and that's because prisoners do not receive benefits or pensions. They're not paid overtime. They're forbidden to organize and strike. They must show up on time. They're not paid for sick days or granted vacations. They cannot formally complain about working conditions or safety hazards. If they are disobedient or attempt to protest their pitiful wages, they lose their jobs and can be sent to isolation cells. The roughly 1 million prisoners who work for corporations and government industries in the American prison system are models for what the corporate state expects us all to become. And corporations have no intention of permitting prison reforms that would reduce the size of their bonded workforce. In fact, they're seeking to replicate these conditions throughout the society. States, meaning your legislators, who are most of them up for grabs by those who are willing to pay for them, like Alex has for decades, in the name of austerity, have stopped providing prisoners with essential items, including shoes, extra blankets, even toilet paper, while starting to charge them for electricity and room and board. Most prisoners and the families that struggle to support them are chronically short of money. Prisons are company towns, script rather than money, was once paid to coal miners, and it could be used only at the company store. Prisoners are in a similar condition. When they go broke, and being broke is a frequent occurrence in prison, prisoners must take out prison loans to pay for medications and legal and medical services and basic commissary items like soap and deodorant. Debt peonage inside prison is a prevalent condition, as prevalent as outside of prison. States impose an array of fees on prisoners. For example, there's a 10% charge imposed by New Jersey on every commissary purchase. Stamps have a 10% surcharge. Prisoners must pay the state for a 15-minute deathbed visit to an immediate family member or a 15-minute visit to a funeral home to view the deceased. New Jersey, like most other states, forces a prisoner to reimburse the system for overtime wages paid to the two guards who accompany him or her, plus mileage cost. The charge can be as high as $945. It can take years to pay off a visit with a dying father or mother. Fines, often in the thousands of dollars, are assessed against many prisoners when they are sentenced. There are 22 fines that can be imposed in New Jersey, including the violent crime compensation assessment, the law enforcement officers' training and equipment fund, and the extradition cost. The state takes a percentage each month out of a person's pay to pay down the fines, a process that can't never be repaid. It'll take decades. Now, here's the catch-22. If a prisoner who is fined $10,000 at sentencing must rely solely upon a prison salary, or he or she will owe about $4,000 after making 25 years of payments, prisoners can leave prison in debt to the state. Now, you've served your time You're out of jail, but you're poor. The state prison system says you still owe us money. So they rearrest you and start a whole new group of fines all over again. The recidivism rate is designed for that purpose. Corporations have privatized most of the prison functions once handled by governments. They run prison commissaries, and since the prisoners have nowhere else to shop, often jack up the prices by as much as 100%. Corporations have taken over the phone systems and charge exorbitant fees to prisoners and their families. They grossly overcharge for money transfers from families to prisoners, and these corporations, some of the nation's largest, pay little more than a dollar a day to prison laborers who work in for-profit prison industries. Food and merchandise vendors, construction companies, laundry services, uniform companies, prison equipment vendors, cafeteria services, manufacturers of pepper spray, body armor, an array of medieval instruments used for the physical control of prisoners, and a host of other contractors feed like jackals off prisons. Prisons in America are hugely profitable business, but one we never discuss, do we? Our prison industrial complex, which holds anywhere from 2.3 to 2.5 million people per day, that's 25% of the entire world's prison population, makes money by keeping prisons full. It demands bodies, regardless of color, gender, or ethnicity. As the system drains the pool of black bodies, it has begun to incarcerate others. Women, the fastest growing segment of the prison population, are swelling prisons, as are poor whites in general, Hispanics, and immigrants. Prisons are no longer a black-white issue. Prisons are a grotesque manifestation of a corporate capitalism. Slavery is legal in prisons under the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Remember the 13th Amendment? It says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States. Hence, the massive U.S. prison industry functions like the forced labor camps that have existed in all totalitarian states. Corporate investors who have poured billions into the business of mass incarceration expect long-term results. They want a return on their money, and they're getting it. It is their lobbyists who write the draconian laws that demand absurdly long sentences, deny paroles, determine immigrant detention laws, and impose minimum sentence and three strikes and you're out, mandating life sentences after three felony convictions. The politicians, pimps that they are, and the courts, corrupt as they all are completely and totally subservient to corporate power. And they can be always counted upon to protect the corporate interests first. Corrections Corporation of America, the largest owner of for-profit prisons and immigration detention facilities in the country, made $1.7 billion last year, $300 million net. They hold 81,384 inmates in their facilities on any given day. The three top-for-prison corporations spent $45 million over a recent 10-year period lobbying to keep their business flush. The resource centered in the public interest, documented in its report, Criminal, How Lockup Quotas and Low Crime Taxes Guarantee Profits for Private Prison Corporations, that private prison companies often sign state contracts that guarantee prison occupancy rates of 90%. If states fail to meet the quota, they have to pay the corporations for the empty beds. And so they pay the politicians. The United States from 1970 to 2005 increased its prison population 700%. That's according to statistics from the ACLU. The Federal Bureau of Justice Statistics and the ACLU report notes says for-profit companies presently control 18% of federal prisoners and 6.7% of all state prisoners. And private prisons account for nearly all newly built prisons. But corporate profit is not limited to building and administering prisons. Whole industries now rely almost exclusively on prison labor. Federal prisoners, who are among the highest paid in the United States system, they make upwards of $1.25 an hour. They produce the military's helmets, uniforms, pants, shirts, ammunition belts, IT tags, tents. Prisoners work often through subcontracts for major corporations like Chevron, Bank of America, IBM, Motorola, Microsoft, AT&T, Starbucks, Nintendo, Victoria's Secrets, J.P. Penney's, Sears, Walmart, Kmart, Eddie Bauer, Wendy's, Procter & Gamble, Johnson & Johnson, Fruit of the Loom, Motorola, Caterpillar, Sara Lee, Quaker Oats, Mary Kay, Microsoft, Texas Instruments, Dell, Honeywell, Hewlett-Packard, Nortel, Nordstrom's, Revlon, Macy's, Pierre Cardin, and Target. Prisoners in some states run dairy farms, staff call centers, take hotel reservations, or work in slaughterhouses. The prisoners are used to carry out public services such as collecting highway trash in states like Ohio. States with shrinking budgets share in the corporate exploitation. They get kickbacks as much as 40% from corporations that prey upon prisoners. This kickback money is often supposed to go to inmate welfare funds. Forget it, it doesn't. The wages paid to prisoners for labor inside prisons have remained stagnant in real terms for more than 30 years. In New Jersey, a prisoner can make $1.20 for working 8 hours. That's pennies an hour. That's for a whole day, $1.20. And there you have it. So when you look at what do you become and you realize how many people are being sentenced for things that should never have been a prison sentence, connect the dots, bring it all together. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with your Talk Back segment, and please stay with us.
Around the world.
Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me, y'all?
Every woman, man, and boy and girl.
Boy and girl.
Time to share some love and shake a hand. Spread the message of the master plan. Celebration of what we need today.
That's right.
Put some sunshine in your rainy day.
Who are the people?
Sing a joyful song, make you feel okay. Got no time for feeling down, then let me hear you say.
A world celebration.
World celebration.
Use your invitation.
Come along and sing with me.
A world celebration.
You deserve a break today.
Use your invitation.
Celebrate, celebrate. Yeah.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Let's say hello to Francis from Connecticut. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Gary. I haven't been listening to your show for about a year and a half now because I just retired on disability. So my question is, I know they passed that spending bill and there was some stuff in there that really shouldn't have been in there, and I know about the banks going to share their devastations on us as taxpayers. But as a person who doesn't really have, you know, a lot of income, how do I protect myself if I just have a regular checking account, savings account? Where can I go and protect my money? I said, if the
I would suggest that you use a credit union account.
Credit union. That's the answer. Okay. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Carol from Brooklyn. Hi, Carol. Your turn.
Hi. Can you tell us, please, what is the proper temperature to cook vegetables so they don't lose their nutrients?
As long as the... And if it's in water, it's a little different. Never use a microwave, by the way. Microwaves destroy the nutrients and create massive free radical damage and also change the protein structure, creating a hard-to-digest cross-linkages. But when you're cooking, my rule of thumb is don't cook hotter than what you could put your finger in and not burn it. That might be 130 degrees.
Okay.
Or that, again, you have to test it. But as long as you're cooking below 140, and again, I'm recommending vegetables and grains, nuts and seeds. For example, if you just took some millet, which is a wonderful source of complete protein, B vitamins, zinc, fiber, it has a nice nutty flavor to it, almost like an almond. Tastes like eating almonds. And you just poured some hot water over it. and just put a little towel over it. You stirred it, and you come back in 10 minutes and all germinated. Just that amount of heat, the water, is enough to open up the lignocellulose to allow the internal nutrients to be made bioavailable. So you don't have to cook at these very high temperatures. And even things that are very pithy, that have a lot of fibrous material, like broccoli or cauliflower, steaming them is best, because then the steam is coming up and enveloping them and then dissipating. So it's not as if there's a high level of heat held permanently at one place upon that that would denature the nutrients at that one place. Whereas when you throw a hamburger on a grill, you're really up there in high temperatures, 100 degrees, and it's searing it, but it's also making it very difficult to digest, and it's creating heterocyclic amines, which are cancer-causing. So the key is this: slow cooking, low heat cooking.
Okay. Thank you so much. And you are a national treasure.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Harvey from Berkeley, California. Hi, Harvey. You're on.
Hi, Gary. Like to pick up more on the prisons for profit there. Well, their main sources for prisoners was the war on drugs and immigration. And immigration due to NAFTA. You know, they undersold all the corn into Mexico, and the farmers couldn't come in at such a low price, and a lot of them ended up here, caught by our immigration police and put into prisons for profit. But that's slowly drying up, because $100 million was invested in Mexico infrastructure, so there's less of that. So I believe that the Republicans, they were behind cutting the food stamp programs, the sequester, all those sort of things, which would make up for, because if people are hungry, they'll go out and steal for themselves and their family. And this is a whole new resource for the prisons for profit. Hello?
I appreciate that.
Okay.
And keep in mind, it is not against the law in New York State, not since 1977, when marijuana was decriminalized. But it's against the law to smoke it in public or to show it in public. So when people, over 700,000 at its height of stop and search, and mainly minority individuals, people of color, were asked, show us your pockets. By the law, you don't have to. You can say, sir or madam, no. I'm choosing my right not to show you what's in my pocket. So the law's on your side, but people don't know that, and people think that somehow you're going to be better off if you cooperate and do everything they want. That's why you should never speak to any law enforcement. Do not be discourteous, but don't give them information, because it'll always be used against you. In any case, the moment they open up the pocket and now it's shown in public, now it becomes against the law, and then they can send you to jail and do. So when you look at who's filling up these beds and has and how it's destroyed families, it's all for political and ideological agendas, and behind that is money. Just remember, for every one of these religious crusaders out there and every one of these political ideologists, there's a benefit. You just have to look deep enough to see where the benefit is. And so I thank you, Harvey, for sharing that with us. I'm on location today. Sorry that my technical quality of the show may not be what it normally is when I'm in studio. I'm trying to finish up filming for my next feature film, which I've also been filming for quite some time, on a major topic. And so sorry for any technical glitches. Jeremiah from Jersey City, your turn, please.
Hi, Gary. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I just wanted to thank you for all that you were sharing with the audience about the prison industrial complex. I was wondering, first of all, if there's a master list for that that list of corporations you shared with us that should really be disseminated widely.
That is posted on our website.
Okay, great. And I'm a chess teacher. I work in a corrections facility. It's called a residential house, euphemistically, in Brooklyn. And the things I see in there are so heart-wrenching that, I mean, as activists, if we don't know what's going on in the prisons, we don't really know what's going on. As one of the guards put it, he said, what goes on in here and what brings a kid here, because these are youth offenders. He said, this is what people don't want to know about. This is what you just read about in the newspaper and don't want to look at and don't want to deal with, you know, because we're talking about a generation of kids who are being pumped up with all of the worst of everything, the worst food. They're put in there and they get to play video games for hours and hours. The guards use language to the kids and towards each other that is appalling. And I just want to say, as somebody who has firsthand experience in there, everyone needs to open their eyes. It is horrifying. And I'm not talking about abuses. I'm talking about the general attitude and general protocol in these places. One time there was not a lot of young people incarcerated on a particular occasion, and I said to the guy who's the head of the recreations department, my liaison there, he said, or I said to him, you know, I guess it's good there aren't too many kids here. It means there's less kids getting arrested. And he immediately said to me, not in this business. That's never good in this business. And we're not talking about a shareholder here. We're talking about a rank-and-file worker, a black man who grew up in the projects, by his own admission had gotten into plenty of trouble over the years, and everyone in that system is indoctrinated into thinking that what they're doing is okay and that it's just a business, and it doesn't bother them that it's 90% black kids that I see walking in and out of those gates.
I appreciate you taking the time and insight to share this with us. Thank you. All of the information that I share each day is posted, so anyone who wants the details, the commentaries, I've written a lot of commentaries over the last 4 days to present every day this week. They're all posted on GaryNall.com or ProgressiveReaderNetwork.com. I believe we have Lou Anne Panessi on the line.
Yes, Gary. Hello.
Hi, Lou Anne. Before we take some more calls, which we're going to do, we wanted to, and so I'll be taking more calls. When our regular stations sign off at 5 to the hour, we'll continue taking some calls right up to the hour so people can continue on their talk back at 888-874-4888. Lou Anne, you wanted to say that this today's the last day for helping our sister station WBAI with the upcoming health retreat that we're looking forward to.
Yes, and I have some good news. I had two people that had to cancel last minute for the second week, so I will be interviewing for people for that. And I am still interviewing for people that want to do the work-study program with us. So let me give you my number. It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. And if you get the answering machine, don't worry. I will get right back to you.
Thank you, Lou Anne. Give that number again.
Surely. 631-504-6198 for your retreat coming up in January.
Great. All right. Let's see who's our next caller. Sean, your turn, please.
Hey, Gary. Love your show. I have a question. Have you seen the documentary Cowspiracy?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it yet.
All right. My question is, do you believe that people's diets is the number one contributor to environmental damage? And is people's diets the best way to prevent environmental damage?
Yes and no. Let me break it into two elements. First, we know that anywhere from 16 to 18% of all global warming comes from animal production. But also you have a huge amount of water that comes into effect. And when you're dealing in many states that, like Florida, Texas, California, that do not have water in abundance, they're short in drought, using that water for genetically modified crops like soy, cotton, corn, or sugar beets, or cattle, beef, pork, is a waste. But also animals, and last year we killed more than 70 billion, that's with a B, billion animals worldwide, over 11 billion in the United States, that includes fish, for human consumption. But the animals give you not carbon dioxide, they give you methane, and methane is much more potent at global warming than is carbon dioxide. So it actually contributes more. To put it in perspective, animal production creates more global warming than all cars, boats, trains, planes, and ships combined. So, yes, it is a very important determining factor, but it is not the biggest. Industry is the biggest. Now, the latest fiasco with the climate change conference, none of it was required. It was all voluntary solutions and years off, decades off. We don't have decades. We will be having major environmental disasters in the next 2 to 3 years. And then maybe that might get people's attention. Does it make a difference with health? You bet it does. Who are the largest single group of people who are choosing to go meatless for environmental reasons? Teenagers. So the biggest movement is among teenagers, not people who have enough knowledge and wisdom of the world to know they shouldn't be eating animal proteins. If it has a face or a heartbeat, don't eat it, and that can do your part. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. And let's see who we have up next. And who do we have? Robert from New Jersey. Hi, Robert. Your turn.
Hi, Gary. I just wanted to comment on the previous caller who's from the residential facility.
Yes.
I don't know why people have their heads, you know, where. This person wasn't indoctrinated to toe the company line. That's a conscious decision that they made. I just don't understand. I mean, it's taking moral responsibility away from the individual. They're indoctrinated. They can't help it. And it's the same argument made against the American public. They're indoctrinated. What do they know? But from what I understand, this country still has a good deal of freedom as far as access to information, library systems, internet, availability for computers. They can, if they want, they can choose to pick up the kind of information, the alternative information, that will be a benefit to them.
Well, remember what I said at the beginning of this? We have an epidemic, a pandemic of intentional neglect.
Yeah.
You can choose not to be indoctrinated. You can choose to challenge your indoctrinated mind. You can deconstruct it. You can see the truth beyond it. But the medical community is indoctrinated. The nursing community is indoctrinated. The political community is indoctrinated. The media is indoctrinated. The heads of major governmental agencies are indoctrinated. Try to get some funding to do something on non-toxic and natural approaches to disease, and you'll see how difficult it is. Now try to get massive funding for drugs that are dangerous and do not actually help a condition, and you'll have plenty of support for that. So our entire way of looking at the problems and solutions are based upon this intended neglect and the consequences. I appreciate your call. Thank you. And we're out of time. I want to thank you all for calling in, sharing your insights. And in just 3 days, I'll be doing a major report on progressive ideals to consider for those who are entering public life at any level that they could use in platforms, populist, for the people issues. I have over 50 that I've written, and I'll be sharing them for those who are interested. Have a nice day, everyone. Now let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hi, Gary. I'm in your town, so I may pop by and see you if you have some time. But today, 2020 hindsight, lessons learned and not learned in 2014.
Great. Utrice Lead right now.